In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is so good to see all of us here in the house of the Lord. And again, I'd like to remind all of us here that we are very much into the year already. We have gone past half the year, and very soon the end of the year will be here. And then we will have to look back and see how much we have done for the Lord. And at the end of the year, when we look back, can we say that, Lord, thank you for enabling me to serve you. Thank you, O Lord God, for enabling me to serve you well. And although I've served you well, I have to confess that I am still but an unprofitable servant. Can we, at the end of the year, come before the Lord to say that? Or at the end of the year, we look back and we will be filled with regrets because we had not done enough for the Lord. I trust that all of us may serve him well every day, asking ourselves how we may be able to serve the Lord and how we may be able to serve him better. And remember the four verses that we have committed to memory. We are to seek those things which are above and not things on this earth. Now, do continue to pray for those who are not well in the body. There are some who are under the weather, and there are those who have not completely recovered yet. Do pray for them, that the Lord will be very merciful to heal everyone. Now, the subject this morning is God-honoring workplace relationship. I'm talking, of course, about the relationship between employers and employees, or employees and the employers. God-honoring workplace relationship. Now, in the passage that we read, reference is made to servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, the word servants is not what we understand servants to be today. Servants in those days were actually slaves. They were not servants like the way we understand servants today, servants to be today. Now, in this passage, you will see that quite a lengthy instruction is given to servants, something like four or five verses or so. And there is only one verse that is devoted as an instruction given to masters. Now, why such a lengthy instruction given to servants? Now, the reason is that in those days, perhaps, there were more servants than there were free people. There were more slaves than there were free people. And therefore, this lengthy instruction is written to enable servants who were converted to serve the Lord and to be good witnesses for him. Now, in those days, many of these servants, of course, came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you look into Holy Scripture, you will see that the Holy Scripture, or the Word of God, does not aim at upsetting the social order of the day, or the social system of the day. Yes, the Word of God doesn't, for example, promote the abolishing of slavery in those days. The Word of God doesn't teach that. But the Word of God here taught servants how to behave after they were converted, after they came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, based on this study of this relationship between servants and masters, today we want to apply some principles to how employees should relate themselves to their masters and how masters should relate themselves to their employees, or the employers should relate to their employees. So first of all, how should employees behave towards their employer? How? Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now, so what's the key word here? The key word is the word obedient. Now, servants in those days were naturally obedient to their masters because, as we said, they were slaves. They had no right. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, after they came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they must be better servants than they were before. They must be better slaves serving their masters than they ever did before. Now, of course, the slaves, as we said, in those days, had no say at all because they were slaves. But today, employees in company, of course, have lots to say, all right? They are not curbed. They have lots to say. And in fact, some employers, if they are good employers, expect their employers to speak, employees to speak up. They expect their employees to contribute ideas to the advancement or to or for the advancement or the improvement of the company. So today, if you want to be a good servant in your company, a good employee in the company, you must be speaking up. You must be contributing ideas for the advancement of your company or for the improvement of your company. Now, we are to be obedient to the company that we work for in that we are expected not to work against the company. That's natural, right? We are not expected, or we are expected not to work against the company. The company has its work ethics, it has its culture, it has its, philosophy, and they have rules written as well as unwritten. Now, take for example dress code. Some companies have their own dress, have their dress code. Some companies would require their employees to dress quite formally when they go to work, put on formal work clothing or work attire when they go to work. So if you are working for that kind of a company, you're expected to dress in that manner. Now, if you don't care to wear formally, and you keep on complaining and griping, that, of course, will not be a good testimony for the Lord. Now, if you can't comply with that kind of policy or practice or that kind of dress code, then you might as well think of leaving the company and go join another company. Or some company or many companies have its policy in regards to company expense. You are to spend money in a certain manner when you travel. Now, I remember years ago working for this company, there was a time when I was sent overseas for training. It was for a period of about 2 months or so, not quite 2 months, but nearly 2 months. Then the company policy was that because I was not overseas for not quite 2 months, I was not allowed to bring my wife along. In fact, I was given a very nice-looking service apartment, a family-sized service apartment. My wife could easily have come along, but the company said that because I was not there for 2 months at least, I could not bring my wife along. Now, how did I react to that? Of course, I was not happy with that. It was quite a ridiculous idea. But should I complain? Should I gripe about it? My dear friends, if I did, then I would be bearing a very bad testimony. So I kept quiet and went along with that kind of policy. Now, and that's what we should do, my dear friends. If that's the company policy, then we abide by that company. If you are not happy with that policy, then you better think of leaving the company rather than to stay around and be a bad testimony for the Lord. Now, some companies have a casual style of management. It believes that for the company to function very, very well, the style of management must be very casual. The atmosphere must be very, very casual so that ideas will flow. Yes. Now, if you are the type that can't stand this kind of casual behavior, then you might as well leave the company. But if you want to stay in the company, then you must pray for grace for the Lord, from the Lord to be given you so that you will be able to live in that kind or work in that kind of environment. Now then, there are companies that are very, very stiff in the way it manages. And if you can't stand that kind of management style, then maybe you should look for another company, or as I said before, if you want to continue to work in a company, you like the company very much, then pray for grace that you will be able to work within that framework of the company with that kind of style of management in the company. Now, if you can't and you stay around, you're going to bear a bad testimony for the Lord. Now, were slaves to obey their masters in everything? Now look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So that is the parameter, my dear friends. We obey our employers within this framework as unto Christ. So we do not have to obey our masters in everything. Now, obedience must be unto the Lord. In other words, if the master required, in those days, if the masters required the servants to do anything contrary to the word of God, then the servants were not obligated, based on God's law, to obey. Of course, that would have been very, very hard and very, very difficult for the servants in those days, because they were servants and they didn't have any kind of right at all. Now, today, as employees of companies you work for, obedience to your company will be, or to your employer, will be less of a problem, but it still could be a problem. Isn't it true? Yes, in some company, your company still expects you to obey certain rules and certain policies, as I said earlier on. Now, we know that for some companies to do their business in some third world countries, they actually have to bribe government officials. Yes? Now, what should you do if you work for such a company? If the company requires you to bribe government officials, what should you do? Now, this is the real thing. This situation is real. Don't think that it's not real. I still remember, I think I did ever tell you before about the company that I worked for. It actually had written policies. And I remember this policy, not the exact words. It said something like this: if it is culturally a customary practice to pay government officials, you as an employee may do so. It was in our policy, actually, not the exact words. So what did that mean? That, of course, meant that my company might expect me to bribe government officials if I went into some third world country to work. So if I were in that situation, should I obey my company, obey my employer, or should I obey the Lord? Now, what do you think? My dear friends, of course, we must obey the Lord. Yes, and then we might risk being fired, of course, if we obey the Lord. But let's trust the Lord, my dear friends. Let's obey Him. Surely the Lord will provide. Now, if we can't work in such a company because the company expects us to bribe, then go work for another company. The Lord will surely provide. The pay might be less, but dear friends, let us glorify the Lord. Let us remember that the Lord will not fail us. He is faithful. He says to us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So let us not fear. Next, how should not the servant serve? How should not the servant serve? Verse 6. Not with eye service as man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, not with eye service as man pleases. In other words, we are not to serve our employers with eye service. That is, outwardly appearing that we are serving, when actually we are not. You know, the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. We can always make it look as if we are working when we are actually not working. Isn't it very true? I remember in those days working for this company, my big boss one day was very, very mad with all the marketing people because they were spending a lot of time at their PC, apparently communicating, apparently doing their email communication. And my big boss had to say this to them: doing your email is not working. He had to tell them that. You go out and sell, you go out and do your marketing. That will be the real work. And so you see, employees are very, very good at doing that. And we are very, very capable of doing that, making it appear as if we are working when in actual fact we are not. And then there are those who serve when the boss is around. When the boss is not around, what happens? It is like the cat is away, the mice come out to play, isn't it? So that usually is the case. Now, that always happened in my company years ago. Now, the company that I worked for, by the way, was a very, very good company. And it happened in a very good company too. Now, when the boss was away, and he would always be, he was away for about a month and a year for his home leave. And when he was away, the mice really came out to play. The office became very, very relaxed. Everybody was laughing, joking, and taking his time. And we were working in a huge office. It was a big office, and the office was, of course, divided into sections. And I still remember one day, one of the managers, he was reporting directly to this big boss. And he said this, he looked and he laughed, and he said, "Ah, we are operating autopilot." Yes, in other words, we could relax, all right? We could do what we want, operating autopilot. But friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in such a situation, what should we do? Should we continue to work as diligently as when the boss is around? Yes, should we not be doing that? My dear friends, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is exactly what we must do. Whether the boss is around or whether the boss is not around, it makes no difference. We will still continue to work. Not with eye service, not as man pleasers. Now, if we serve just to please the eyes of men, you know, in actual fact, we are acting out a lie. Did you realize that? Here, we are acting out a lie. We are making it appear as if we are working when we are not working. So we have actually broken God's ninth commandment. Yes, thou shalt not bear false witness. Yes, we are giving a very, very false impression of ourselves. When we are not working, we give the impression that we are working. We are acting out a lie. So remember that. Don't work with eye service as man pleasers. So how should the servant work? How should the servant serve? Look at verse 5 to verse 7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Be fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service or man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now in those days, when servants became believers, and their masters also became believers, there was this possibility that servants would now think that they and their masters were on par, spiritually, in the sight of God. Now, was that true or was that not true? Were they on par with their masters? Of course, absolutely true. In the sight of God, God is no respecter of persons, so whether they were servants or whether they were masters, so long as they were believers, they were on par as far as the one true living God is concerned. Now, that is true. But that did not change the social status of the servants and the masters. Servants were still servants, masters were still servants. And then there were servants who possibly thought that now they had greater spiritual knowledge than their master, who had also become masters, who had also become believers. They might think that now that they had greater knowledge than their master, they were superior to their masters. Some of them might have that kind of thinking. And so Paul had to write to this church to tell them this. Remember, you are servants. Yes, remember your position. And now that you have become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think that you are on equal social status as your master, but rather serve your master even better than you ever served before. Be exemplary servants. Now, they were to serve with fear. Serve with fear and with trembling. Serve with fear of what? Of the just and reasonable rebuke from their masters. Yes, they should serve not so much with the fear of their masters in mind, but rather serve with the fear of the Lord in their mind. That's how they should be serving, with fear and with trembling. And that's the way we should serve too. Now, today, in a country like Australia, I don't think people would be paralyzed by the fear of their bosses. Anyone here is so fearful of the boss that you become paralyzed when you are in the presence of the boss. I don't think any one of us here feels that way in the presence of the boss. Of course, we are respectful, but we are not paralyzed by our fear of the boss. But I think we should still fear the just rebuke of the boss. If the rebuke from the boss is very just, let's fear the boss. We should fear being rightfully shamed by the boss because we have not been faithful in our work, we have been slothful, we have been sloppy, we have been non-contributors, in fact, negative contributors to the advancement of the company. We should feel very, very ashamed, and we should be very, very fearful that we will be shamed we are shamed by the boss for being there, for being slothful in our service to the company. Now remember, we have a supreme boss, and this boss is above all bosses. Of course, he is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us very, very clearly about his omniscience. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good as well as the evil. Proverbs 15, verse 3. So let's not forget, we have this supreme boss who is looking at us. One day, before the judgment seat of Christ, we shall all have to give an account of how we serve our employer. Now, we are very, very inclined to do this as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, we are very, very good at compartmentalizing our service. We compartmentalize our service to service in the church, service in the home, service in the office. And we think that only our service in the church counts as far as the Lord is concerned on the day of reckoning. No, my dear friends, every aspect of our service matters, and every aspect of our service counts. On the day of reckoning, how we serve our employer is something that we have to give an account for before the one true living God. So let us never forget that, my dear friends. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, even serving your employers, do all to the glory of God. Remember this as employees of our company. Then we must be seen as those with goodwill, verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now what are we noted for? For our service. Are we noted for our goodwill? Are we noted for our willingness to serve? Are we noted for our cheerfulness? Are we noted for our readiness to serve? You know, there are some people who day in and day out seem to be very unhappy, seem to be complaining, seem to be griping, seem to be murmuring. Isn't it true at your workplace? Have you come across such people? Always complaining, always grumbling, always murmuring. Surely you have come across such people. They appear to be people who every morning wake up from the wrong side of the bed. Every day complaining. Now then, if they are given a bit more work than other employees are given, you know what they will say? Oh, the boss is so unfair. He gave me so much work, gave the other people so little work. Yes? And then you think that they will be very happy when they are given less work. You think they'll be happy? No. When they are given less work, they say, wow, this boss thinks that I'm not good enough. That's why he gave me so little work and gave other people so much work. See, they are never happy. My dear friends, if we want to serve as good witnesses for the Lord, let us serve with goodwill. In other words, serve with cheerfulness. Serve with readiness of mind to serve. My dear friends, are we like that in our office? Serve with cheerfulness, serve with readiness. Let us cause other people to enjoy working with us. Did it ever occur to you that you should be causing other people to enjoy working with you? Did you ever think of that? My dear friends, why don't we aim to do that? Yes, aim to cause people to enjoy working with us. Now, serving with readiness of mind means we are not to be laid back, and we must be people who are filled with initiative, and not just people who work because we are told to do the work, but we work. Yeah, I can tell you this. Yes, one of the things that employers value very, very much about their employees is their initiative, their willingness to work. Yes, employers, I can tell you this, value employees who are always bubbling with ideas and who are always very willing to put in their hands to work. They treasure such employees. You don't believe me? I can tell you they treasure such employees. Yes, and especially, in the rating, I think one of the things that most companies have when they rate their employees for their performance is initiative, right? They value employees who have lots of initiative, and they treasure people who are very, very contributive to the advancement of the business of the company because they have lots of initiative. Now, to serve with goodwill also means we are willing to be cooperative with other people. In other words, we are willing to play team. Now, playing team is not easy, I can tell you that. Many times it requires sacrifice. We sing our self-interest for the interest of the whole group. Isn't it true? That's what teamwork is all about. You sing your self-interest for the interest of the whole group. Now, there was this Christian manager. He was a believer, a manager. One day, he was faced with a very big challenge in his life. And this challenge was presented to him by his boss. His boss asked him one day, "Mr. Manager, would you be willing to share your bonus with those junior employees in the company, in the department that you are in?" Now, in that year, the company did very well. Profit sharing was very good. And so this manager, of course, he earned a bigger salary than the junior employees, and of course had a big share of a bonus. And the boss came to him and said, "Would you be prepared to share your bonus with your junior employees?" Of course, this manager had every right to say, "Hey, boss, I earned this with my sweat. I sweated blood to earn this money. You're asking me to share my bonus with the junior employees." He had every right to say that. And the boss could not do anything, of course. But this manager was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was a true believer, he was willing to play team. He was willing to sacrifice. And he told his boss, "Okay, I'll do that." And he shared his bonus with the junior employees of that department. And during those seasons when this manager was there with the other team members, that department operated very, very well. Morale was very, very high. Teamwork was very, very good. Productivity was very, very high in that group. Yes, because this manager was very, very contributive. He was willing to play team. Now, as believers, we must be willing to show goodwill. Sometimes I fear we hide our unwillingness, not willingness, we hide our unwillingness to show goodwill by saying, "I don't care what people think about me. So long as I'm right with the Lord, so long as I'm true to the Lord, I don't care what people say about me." No, my dear friends, we must care what people say about us if our testimony is at stake. Remember that. Yes, as good employees, my dear friends, we must show goodwill. We must care what man thinks of us, particularly if the report of us is true, and if that report is bad, and it's true. My dear friends, we cannot say that "I don't care what men say of us." We must care. Yes, if our enemy, our testimony is at stake, and if we dishonor the name of the Lord, if we do not care what people say about us. So let's not say that, but let's always exercise goodwill for the glory of the Lord. Then, how else must we serve? Now, we must serve with singleness of heart, as unto the Lord. Now, you know what it means by serving with singleness of heart? It means to serve with sincerity. Yes, we have to do to the very best of our ability to do what we have been assigned to do. Now, not every one of us is favored with a job in which every facet of the job is something that we love to do very much. Isn't it very true? Especially if you're higher up, you know, you're given several portfolios, and then some portfolios are just not your cup of tea. And some portfolios do not have any challenge at all. You feel that it's so dull to do that kind of a job. And some of the things that are required are really not your cup of tea. But you still have to do your very, very best performing those tasks required in your portfolio. Now, let me give you an example. For example, you're given a dirty job. Now, dirty not in the sense that it is immoral, but dirty in the sense that it is something that is unpopular, something that is not pleasant, but you are called upon to do that job. Now, for example, you might be given a job to plan how to act the people in the company. I say it's a very, very unpleasant job. It is a very, very unpopular job, a dirty job, plan how to ex people from the company. You're given that task. Can you tell your boss, "I don't want to do it, it's a dirty job, I don't want to do it"? You can't. Yes, you must very, very sincerely serve your company. even though you know that the people who are going to be ex might be your very good friends in the company. Did you realize that? It's a dirty job, true, but still you have to serve your employer sincerely without any kind of prejudice, without any kind of discrimination, without any kind of favor. You do it, yes, for the glory of the Lord, to the best interest of the company. You have to do that, yes. But if you are ever in a situation like this, call upon to plan to ask people from the company, especially if you are working in HR, you know what I mean, yes. You are called upon to ask people from the company, now to come up with a plan to ask people from the company. I think one thing that you can do is to plan a very, very humane separation package for the people who are going to leave the company, so that they, when they leave the company for the period when they are jobless, they will not suffer great economic deprivation. That thing you can do, and you must try to do if you are in that position. Now, why should the servant obey his master? Why? We say servants are to serve, but why? Why should servant obey his master? Why should the servant obey his master? Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and with trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto the Lord. The answer is obvious. Friends, it is a command given by the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, this obedience is not something that you can negotiate with the Lord and say, Lord, let me not so much obey my employer, let me obey less or something like that. No, you can't. Yes, because it's a command given by the Lord. Servants, obey them that are your masters. Yes. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about unionism. I'm not against unionism, don't get me wrong, okay? Some unions are really very, very good. They are very protective of their employees, and they do the right thing. They protect their employees against the abuse of their employers, and they do a good job. But I dare say much of unionism today has gone overboard to the point where the rights of the employers to manage are taken away from them. Now, some unions are very, very protective of employees, even if the employees are bad employees, dishonest employees, slothful employees, and they are still protective over them. Yes, and by so doing, they are actually going against the spirit of this commandment. Yes, they are encouraging people, to go against the spirit of this commandment, which is, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And many unions today have literally brought many companies to their knees by threatening to strike or threatening to take industrial action when the companies refuse to accede to their demands. Surely this is not servants, obey your masters, but the unions are trying to say what? Yes, masters, obey your servants. Yes, that seems to be the thing that they are wanting to do. Now, many companies are literally driven out of business because of this kind of actions taken by unions. Yes, the cumulative demands made over the years are so costly that companies cannot operate profitably. And many just have to fold up, and they have to go out of business because they can't protect. So should you join a union or should you not join a union when you go work for a company? It all depends. If the union that represents the employees in your company is a good union, yes, you know that there is not one that is very confrontational, but one that is very reasonable, very protective of employees, by all means, join that union. But if you know that that union is very, very confrontational, it is just all out to destroy the company, then you should have reservation in regards to joining that union. My suggestion is don't join that union if that's the kind of union that is representing the employees in your company. Now, the next reason why servants are to obey their masters is that they are to see the mastership of their masters as mastership of the Lord. Yes, when they look at the master and say, this is my master, don't just say that this is my master. Yes, the Lord is my master. This man is just representing the Lord. Verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now it makes a whole world of difference when you do your work in the office and see your work as your work unto the Lord and not unto man. Now if you do your work for the love of the Lord, that attitude is going to sweeten your work in the office. But if you work just for the sake of earning the money, I can tell you that in next to no time, your work is going to become a chore. Yes, and every morning you have to drag your feet to go to work, even if the money is good. Yes, it is true. Now, I remember years ago when I was a school teacher, often in the staff room, you know, we had this common room, a staff room, and all the teachers would gather during recess time or during our free periods. We'd gather together and we'd talk and we'd make a lot of noises in the staff room. Yes, and many of the teachers in the staff room would be griping, complaining, and so forth. You know why? You see, because when they joined the teaching service in those days, during my time, when they joined the teaching service, it was actually a very, very short day's work. And it was actually half day's work for a full day's pay. It actually was, because a teacher would have started work at about 7:45 in the morning. And when does he end his work? 1 o'clock. And then the rest of the day is his. You know, it's his own time for the rest of the day. But then eventually the government, who was the employer of the teachers in Singapore, then decided that the policy had to change. So teachers were better made use of. So they were given extra work to do, extra work, but actually it was their work, given extra activities to do, referred to as extracurricular activities. And these teachers, many teachers became very, very unhappy. They said, why are we given this extra work, extra work, extra work? And so they complained and complained. And actually many became very depressed, because they had a very, very negative attitude towards this load that was given to them. But if they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they realized that when they serve as school teachers, when they serve the employer, the government, they were actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that kind of attitude was going to make a difference in the way they approach the job. The extra work will not become a chore. They will most likely serve with joy if they had that attitude in mind. I'm serving the Lord. I'm not serving anybody. Serving the Lord. Now, that makes a whole world of difference. Now, verse 6. Not with eye service, as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. Yes, serving not with eye service or as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Now another reason for obedience to the master is that the servant one day will receive his reward from the Lord for serving his master, his earthly master. If he obeys his earthly master as obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, he will in fact be doing the will of the Lord. Often we ask, what is meant by doing the Lord at my workplace? Now, doing the will of the Lord at my workplace is actually saying this to yourself. Yes, I'm serving my master, earthly master. It is true, but in actual fact, I am serving the Lord. Yes, that is doing the will of the Lord. Now, if you are doing the will of the Lord, then you will be doing a good thing. The Word of God says in verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So if you are doing the will of the Lord, which means that you approach your work as if you are serving the Lord, then your doing the will of the Lord will be a good thing. Now, if you are doing a good thing, in whose eyes? In the eyes of the Lord, of course. Now, if you are doing a good thing, then you will be rewarded on the day when you stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, friends, if you perform well in your job, you are doing your employer a great service. And that's true. you are doing your employer a great service. And if you are performing a great service to your employer, you are actually performing a very, very acceptable service unto the Lord, doing the will of the Lord, doing something good in the eyes of the one true living God. Your service will not be unnoticed. On the day of the, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to be rewarded accordingly. So remember this. Don't think that our service to the employer is not counted on the day of when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My dear friends, it will be counted. We will have our service unto our employer will be reckoned with by the Lord on the day when we stand before Him. Now, another reason for obedience is that the servant will bring honor to the Lord by his obedience. Yes, if you honor the Lord, yes, if you obey your master, you will be bringing honor to the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, I read for you this verse. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Count your masters as worthy of all honor. Yes, 1 Timothy 6:1. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now see what happens if servants don't count their masters as being worthy of honor and become disobedient to them. My dear friends, they will bring dishonor and shame to the name of the Lord. Yes, non-Christians looking at a professed believer who is very, very disobedient to the employer will have this to say about this kind of employees. He will say, what kind of religion is this that teaches this person to behave in that manner, to be so disobedient to the employer? Yes, that kind of religion cannot be good. Now, if people have that kind of opinion of what we believe in, then surely, my dear friends, we are bringing shame and dishonor to the name of the Lord. Now, there was this employee who professed to be a Christian, professed to a believer. And then she left the company. She joined the company for a short while, and then she left the company. And she left the company in a very, very unfair manner. She didn't give any notice at all. And it was the practice of the company to pay salary ahead of time. So sometime in the middle of the month, the employee would be paid his salary. And this employee, this lady, collected the salary, and all of a sudden, she quit the company. Yes, without any kind of notice. Now the company decided to write to her to ask her to refund the money. Not so much that the company needed the money, but it was something that was procedural to satisfy the audit. So the auditor, so the company wrote to this employee to ask her to refund the money. Was there any response from her? No response. You think that was a good testimony? I say that was a bad testimony. If people knew that she professed to be a believer and behaved in that manner, she actually cheated the company. Yes, she was dishonest. She kept the money. She should have returned the money. If people knew that she was a believer and that she behaved that way, she would be then bringing shame and dishonor to the name of the Lord. My dear friends, we must not be guilty of that. We must always count our employers as people who are worthy of honor. And that is what we must do. Then how should employees treat employers? How should employers treat employees? Now we are coming to employers now. Now we don't have time to elaborate on this, but I just like to read one verse for you, yes, in regards to how employers should treat employees. Ephesians 6 verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, unto your employees, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. In other words, you are to treat your employees with the same spirit as you expect your employees to serve you. If you are an employer, hold back your threatening. Don't threaten them. Manage them with fairness. Manage them with equity. Remember, Paul says, remember, you as a master actually have a master in heaven. And if your employee is also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember this, you and your employee have the same master. On the day, both you and your employee will have to stand before the one true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give an account of how you dealt with one another. Yes, and you will be given the same treatment as your employee is given on that day. So remember, treat your servants well, with fairness and with equity. As I said, I don't think we have time to go into that, so I will not talk about how employers should be treating employees, but just simply remember this verse given to us in Ephesians 6:9. So employees are to obey their employers as unto the Lord. They should not serve with eye service as man pleasers. In other words, whether the boss is present or the boss is not present, you work the same way, diligently doing your very, very best. Yes, your service to your employer must not be something that is just good to look at, but it has to be something that is really good, not just good to look at. Yes, employees should serve not so much with the fear of man in mind, but employees should serve with the fear of the Lord in mind. Remember, the Lord is all-knowing, He's all-seeing. The Word of God tells us this truth. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Yes? And then when we serve, yes, remember, we are to show forth goodwill. And what does it mean? To serve with goodwill. It means to serve with cheerfulness, to serve with the readiness of mind to serve. In other words, be people who are filled with initiative. Don't wait for orders to be given before you do. Go ahead and do. Yes, be filled with initiative. And then also to serve with goodwill means that we are to play team. We must be cooperative. We must let other people feel that they enjoy working with us. Be willing to sink our self-interest and promote the interest of the team. And then when we serve, we must serve also as employees, serve with singleness of heart. In other words, serve with sincerity. We serve with sincerity, doing our very, very best. And why should we serve? Why? Why should we serve? Why should we obey? Why should employees obey their masters? Why should employees obey their employers? Because it's a command given by the Lord. Yes, the Lord says, servants, be obedient unto your masters as unto the Lord. Then the employees should see the mastership of the Lord, or mastership of the employers as mastership of the Lord. Employees, Christian employees, should obey, because if they serve their masters well, one day when they come before the Lord, they will be rewarded. Yes? And then if we don't serve well, of course, we will be bringing shame and dishonor to the name of the Lord. So, my dear friends, if we are employees, and we are Christian employees, then we must count our masters or our employers worthy of honor. And by so doing, we'll bring honor and glory to the Lord. And as for masters, let us read Ephesians 6:9, and then we close. Let's read it together. If you are an employer, if you are a boss, read this. All right, let's read it together. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for this practical instruction that has been given out of your word of life in regards to how we ought to serve our earthly masters. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to do a good work so that we may be able to glorify your holy name. Father, we pray that we must always remember that when we serve our earthly masters, we are in actual fact serving you. Lord, we pray that we may have this attitude in our minds, in our hearts, because we know that if we have this attitude, we will always be doing well and we will always be enjoying the work that we do. Lord, we pray that you will be with us in a very special way throughout the day today, particularly with those who are going out to do the street evangelism today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.